So we started looking inside yesterday, and just to kind of try to now bring all the pieces together. And you got to see some of the Rishonim on this Gemara, and just kind of want to call your attention to what the dynamic here is, and some of the halachic details, and we'll just take it from there. That, and essentially, really this is a unusual format that we can really go from the Gemara into the next Mishnah. That normally it's the other way around. The Gemara follows the Mishnah, but here the Mishnah after this also contributes some important information to some of the practical halakha, so we'll look at it as a unit that way. But here, so our Gemara started, Amar of Yosef, from the bottom of Kriptalim and Aleph. So Shema Mina, Basar, Of, Bechalov, Daraisa. Our Mishnah had combined Of and Basar into one sentence, or Of and Beef into one sentence. That's what the previous Gemara tells us. So if all of that is all subject to this prohibition of putting together on the table, so apparently a Basar Of must be Daraisa. Dis Al Kadaitach, Drabanan, if you're going to tell me it's Drabanan, so Achila Gufa Gezera. Eating itself is a Gezera in that case. So what, we're going to make a gzeira not to put it on the table because of a concern of achila? That would be a problem of gzeira l'gzeira. So ask the Gemara, Timra delodezrin gzeira l'gzeira. So who says we're worried about that? Who says that we don't make gzeiras l'gzeiras? And we saw already the Tosfos that talks about some of the possible inconsistencies on this point. So the Gemara, who says that we don't? Well, there's a Mishnah. Ditanan chalas chutz la'aretz. That when it comes to chala of chutz la'aretz, this is a Mishnah in chala perik dalet. Ne'achalas im hazar al hashulchan. So chalas chutz la'aretz, which itself is Asur to Azar only midrabanan, as Rashi tells us, Eina Asur Lazar Mel midrabanan, as opposed to Chalas Eretz Yisrael. Rashi again fills in Truma Kai Rachman in that case, Vasur Lazar. So that's prohibited in the Torah for Azar, but Chalas Chutzar is prohibited midrabanan. So Chalas Chutzar, that can be eaten on the same table together with Azar and his meal. And here Rashi again fills in top of my base, Vologaz Rina and Dilma Shakl Zarmine the Achil. We're not worried that maybe the Zar is going to take from this. Daha Achilagufalo Misraba El Misum Gzeres Achilas Chalasaris. That this whole prohibition to begin with is itself a Gzer. So we're not worried that we have to make an extra fence to protect that Gzer. That's the end of the sentence. So Amr le Abaye, Abaye responds. So Bish Lama Yashmiin and Chalas Chutz La'aretz Ba'aretz. So if you were in Eretz Yisrael and we were talking about Chalas Chutz La'aretz in that context, so then Deikal Megzar Mishum Chalas La'aretz Da'araisa, that we were worried about actually coming to the reality of Chalas Chutz La'aretz, which is of Chalas La'aretz, which is Da'araisa. And still, the lo gazrina is ekel mishmina. So then, okay, fine, you'd have a good point. El chutz la'aretz mishum delakwa v'igzaru. But in the situation of chutz la'aretz, maybe it simply doesn't rise to the level of concern. Aval hacha yisharus leila suke of v'givina. But in this case, if we're going to let you take chicken and cheese on the same table, so asi la suke basa givina. So then, there's a realistic concern that we could end up with meat and cheese, umechel basa v'chalav d'araisa, and you'll end up with eating basa v'chalav d'araisa. So, maskef l'Rav Sheshet, so Rav Sheshet says, okay, even if we accept your whole story here, but sof, tzonei b'tzoneinu, but you're not involved with any bishul, you just have cold foods next to each other. So, Amar Abaye, gezeira shema yalav ilfas reseach, that maybe you're going to bring it in a boiling pot. So it's not going to be that it's just cold things mixing together. Okay, but so klisheni hu, but this pot is off of the fire. The klisheni enu mavasho. Maybe you will bring it in a Kli Rishon. Okay. So what is exactly happening here? What exactly is the nature of this whole back and forth? So we saw that the whole idea of asking for a source for Gezerah LeGezerah was itself something that triggered Tosus's surprise. As Tosus says in other places, we don't seem to need a source. And parenthetically, the idea that you don't need a source is itself interesting for us, just as we've been focusing on the whole concept of Gezerah LeGezerah. And the idea of not needing a source, just parenthetically for a second, what could that tell you? If you say you don't need a source for Gezerah LeGezerah, what could it tell you? So it could tell you a couple things. It could tell you either that Gezerah LeGezerah is inherently unnecessary, that it's something which just intuitively we could understand. A double safeguard doesn't make sense. So maybe that's why there's no need for a source, just we can conceptually appreciate that a safeguard, there's no point in adding on one safeguard on top of the other. Or we had suggested that maybe we look to Dinim D'Oraisa and pattern our Gezeros after Dinim D'Oraisa, mentioned based on the Avoser of Nasan. So maybe that's it, that maybe Chazal were simply working off of what they see from Torah law. So there's no need for a source for Gezerah LeGezerah. And then there are those who argue that there is a source. You have Rashi and Beitza offering that source of Mishmarti Mishmarti as the source. But here, doesn't necessarily follow that this Mishnah in Chala that's being suggested, that that is the source. You can look at that Mishnah and say that, oh, I see from this Mishnah that there's a general principle in Gozer and Gezerah LeGezerah. Is that really the nature of this back and forth? Is that how you, especially having seen a little bit some of the Rishonim, right, some of the Ramban and the Ritva, so is that how this Gemara strikes you, or is it possible the Gemara is maybe asking a different question? What would you think? What else could be the purpose of this? I mean, it could be that the Gemara is not necessarily looking here for a source about Gezerah LeGezerah B'chol HaTorah Kula, but that part of what we see is we need to understand in every situation what the mechanics are and what are the risks. And we've also raised the question, are there exceptions to Ein Gozer and Gezerah LeGezerah, which Tosfos, for example, brings up. And we discussed last time that maybe there are exceptions, and maybe there aren't really exceptions, it's just that the parameters have to be defined. So maybe sometimes, for example, we say it's not an exception, it's all Chad Gezerah, that everything we're talking about in front of us is all part of one big Gezerah. And we need to figure out how exactly the parts come together. Levi, what would you comment?
It's a little off topic, sort of, but when we say Gezerah, do we mean all the Rabbanim? Or do
no.
we mean, because like that?
Yeah,
so like, let's say chicken's a Gezerah.
Right, so chicken pashtus is a Gezerah, but still we don't mean all the Rabbanans, right? So that's something we mentioned the other day, that not every din Rabbanan is a Gezerah, and it's important to clarify that.
Love the rest of the
right.
everyday besides
right.
Tuesday.
Exactly, that is not a Gezerah, right? So not every din Rabbanan is a Gezerah, that, and the rule of Ein Gozer and Gezerah LeGezerah only applies, as Rabbi Akiva Egeri mentioned the other day and others point out, that only applies if you're dealing with a Gezerah. So what is a Gezerah? A Gezerah is a safeguard against something else. So what is not a Gezerah? So a couple of things might not be a Gezerah, but If you have a din d'rabbanan, it's not automatically a gzeira. So a din d'rabbanan might be for some inherent reason. So we mentioned yesterday, or the day before, it was yesterday, that, or maybe it was the day before, that Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a tshuva that carrying a toddler and a carmelis, carrying a toddler who could walk on their own, you wouldn't call that carrying min ha-Torah, because if a human being who can walk on their own, you happen to carry them, so that's not carrying on a level min ha-Torah. So it says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, okay, so carmelis, it's not a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, so it's only a problem Drabanan, so then maybe I can carry my toddler because it's two Drabanan, it's Xero L'Xero. It says, no, that's not a Drabanan, that's not a Xero L'Xero. The carmelis, that's Xero. You shouldn't come to carrying a real Rishus HaRabim. But carrying a child, that's Drabanan, but not because it's Xero. If you carry a child, it might come to carry a soda bottle. No, it's because it's a little bit like carrying. It's because it has the essence of the malacha to it. So not every drabanan is a gzeir. But the question is, what are we talking about here? Right, so here, presumably, everything involved is a gzeir. And so, bringing the food together on the table, and chicken relating to meat, these are all gezeiros. Now, we did mention that Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, based on Gemara's, distinguished within these safeguards, and he distinguished between a gezeira and a siag, and said that a gezeira is something where we're afraid that if we allow this situation, a different situation, you might come to permit. And our Gemara actually seems to be referring to this distinction without naming it. Because he said that gezeira, Rabbi Zalman said, gezeira is where a different situation you might mess up because of this situation, and a siag is a situation where right in front of you there's a problem, and if we don't put a fence up, you may get in trouble right now. So, chicken is a gezeira according to that definition, rather than a siag, because you don't have beef in front of you. You only have chicken in front of you. But we're worried that if you get used to eating chicken and milk, you may at a different time eat meat and milk. And the reference to challah about challahs chutz laretz, so that should also be a gezeira. That we're worried that if we let the Tzar have challahs chutz laretz, he'll also come to have challahs eretz Yisrael. But the distinction the Gemara made between challahs chutz laretz and chutz laretz and Chalas Chutz Laretz in Eretz Yisrael, that sounds a little bit like Rabbi Zalman's point, that if there is in front of you, like right now, you could end up saying, okay, you have on your table Chalas Chutz Laretz and Chalas Eretz Yisrael, so okay, so I guess all the challah I can be having, so let me have that Chalas Eretz Yisrael also. So then, that's more in the Siag definition, perhaps. So, all of that, that could affect the dynamics of when you say gzeri l'gzeri. So that might not necessarily be an exception. So what could be happening in our Gemara is when the Gemara turns to this Mishnah in Challah and says, what can we learn from that? So the Gemara is not necessarily saying, oh, is there ever an instance of gzeri l'gzeri anywhere? But what the Gemara wants to know is, what are the mechanics here? How likely is it, if we have two things together on the same table, that one will mix with the other, that one party will partake in what the other party is eating, and how much does it enter into the equation if we're dealing with also one thing being confused for another thing that's not even in front of us? And how should we respond to that? So now, in that framework, the Mishnah in Challah becomes much more relevant, right? You know, presumably that's the point, that the Mishnah in Challah is not just about a case where we could ask, should you make a gzera or a gzera or a gzera? The Mishnah in Challah is very similar to our situation, right? It has two major parallels. It involves two people eating at the same table, and the concern of mixing. And it also involves something which is prohibited in the first place because it might be confused with another situation. Chalas chutz laaretz, chalas eretz Yisrael, of b'chalav, basar b'chalav. So we see through the Rishonim that that's what the Gemara really wants to know. So is that gzeira l'gzeira? Or would that all be called chad gzeira? Right, would you say that this is all one policy? That once we're enacting, don't eat of b'chalav, so then it should all be the same attitude, don't put it on the table, don't have all of these interactions.
Right?
Now that's also interesting, because still a challenge for the Rambam, because for the other Rishonim, it would have been easier to understand that they're not really distinguishing between Oaf and Basar in general. The Rambam, who had made this distinction between Basar and Oaf in terms of cooking in Hana, so this becomes a little harder to read. If you saw the language of the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch has it also, that the Rambam understands this whole Ha'ala point as Mishum Hergel Avera, which is itself interesting. The whole idea is you shouldn't get used to the Avera, you shouldn't get used to having these mixed together, which is a very interesting phrasing, especially in light of the Rambam having this more limited idea of what Of V'Cholav involves. So essentially what we're able to appreciate in this Gemara now, having had the introduction that we've had, is essentially this is what seems to be the dynamic in this Gemara. Right, that we're trying to figure out what are the risks and how far should we go in terms of managing these risks. So we have an initial gezeira that we are moving away from basar b'chalav by including oaf in it. And once we've done that, so how should that also be incorporated if we also have this side policy that we shouldn't have meat and milk being put together on the same table? So should oaf also be included in that? And essentially what a lot of the Rishonim seem to assume as part of the issue here is, would you call that chad gezeira? Or would you say that, no, that's two separate gezeiros, and that's where we're surprised. Although ultimately we know that we have this din, so if we have this din at the end of the day, then we have to say that either it's all chad gezeira, or that maybe sometimes we do make gezeira l'gezeira, and Chazal essentially have to figure out when. And goes back to Tosus' point of we can't always compare gezeros to each other. But that becomes a very difficult point, because then we don't really have any rules at all. So then we might as well just not say anything and just say that in each case, Chazal have to make the decision that they make. So it's certainly more understandable to say that we do have rules here, and that there should be a concern of gezeira l'gezeira. But perhaps in these circumstances, that's all called one gezeira, and we can compare it to the situation of chalas chutz laaretz in order to try to figure out how it should be applied. Okay, any questions about that? Does that make sense, more or less? Does that flow? Okay, so just we'll fill in a few more details by looking at the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah says, Ha'of olem ha'gvina la'shulchan ve'enu ne'chol. So you can have chicken on the table together with cheese, but it cannot be eaten together on the same table. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. It doesn't go up on the table, it doesn't get eaten on the table. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Zum Mikulei Beishamayim Mechuri Beishil. So Rabbi Yossi pointed out, this is one of the situations where Beishamay is the Meiko and Beishil is the Machmer. So what kind of table are we talking about? We're talking about the table you're actually eating on. If we're talking about the table that you arrange the dishes on, so that in those things, that besides that, then you can put them alongside each other and you don't have to worry about anything. Okay, so should just be pointed out a few of the halachic discussions that emerge from the poskim about this whole point of the Isser Ha'ola of not having meat and milk on the same table in which you're eating. So there are a number of limitations that the poskim point out. So one is they point out that we're talking about the table when the meal specifically is going on. If the meal is over, or if it's not happening now, some posts can point out, even if there's already been Rabbi Sinai Varei, we've already called upon to start benching, so then that's already enough of a reduction in harm that we don't have to worry that people will start picking from each other's food. It's also pointed out by the Shach that this is only a concern specifically really by Vasu B'chalav and not by, for example, if, let's say, you're eating cheese, and the other guy is eating basar nevela, he's eating non-shechted meat, so that's not a concern. So, at least not for you. So, why is that not a concern? Says the Shach, what's the logic there? Because, anshe bedilei minei, that you are going to instinctively be guarded from this, because you never eat nevela. So we're not concerned that you're going to pick away at the nevela that you are already careful not to eat. That it's only when he's eating something that at other times you do eat, so then we're afraid that you might forget yourself.
Even if it's nevela of a kosher animal, like you can't tell otherwise?
So presumably the whole premise has to be that you somehow can tell. Otherwise it wouldn't get off the ground. But this assumption that the gzeira is limited to what you otherwise have some kind of a history with is interesting. And you know, this is what we find reflected in other sources, right? We talked about in the context of chametz, we mentioned the Ran, who says that there is a din min haTorah, a gzeira min haTorah, not to own chametz on Pesach. And the Ran and maybe a lot of other Rishonim understood that this is all because of the concern of eating chametz on Pesach. And as the Ran addresses, that even though there are many other prohibited foods, and yet we don't find that you're prohibited to own them as well. The prohibition is only to eat them. Here there's an extra prohibition when it comes to chametz, because we are not in the habit of avoiding it normally. We eat it 51 weeks a year, so we need to have extra steps to keep us away from chametz. So here the Shach works off that premise here also and says that the only need for this safeguard is regarding food that we would not have some kind of natural distaste for, some kind of natural distancing from. But if there's some other reason that we would keep ourselves away from it, such as basar nevela, or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something that you have a personal sheet in that eats. Maybe you're sitting with your friend and he's eating something that's hashgacha you don't hold from. Some contemporary posts can talk about that. So let's say it's something which there's another aspect that keeps you away from. So then that's itself going to permit. So that's one limitation that you find. Already two limitations, because we talked about a limitation in terms of timing, that if the meal is over, so that's a limitation. And now also a limitation in terms of what the food is, that if the food is anything other than just a basa b'chalav consideration, if there's any other isser, so the Shach talks about basa d'vela, but the later post can talk about even other less severe prohibitions, but something that will contribute to your staying away from it, so that's also going to mitigate this issue. Okay, so far so good. They also, Shulchan Aruch also talks about that if the two people involved don't know each other, if they just happen to sit down at the park bench and one's got his fleishiks and one's got his milchiks, so then we don't have to worry also, because hopefully there's enough civility still left in society that if people don't know each other, they're not too likely to be picking away at each other's foods. Although, I guess, who knows? But things are changing by the minute. But perhaps that's still the case. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch brings. And the Darkei Tshuva and others point out that especially if the other person is an Akum, so they say, Ein Pirud Kepirud Hadassos, that there's no separation like the separation of a faith difference, and for sure should assume that they're not going to be, you're not going to be picking away at his food. Maybe he might be, might feel differently about your kosher food, who knows, but your concern is about whether you'll be taking his, for some reason, kosher meat or milk and mixing it with yours. So that also will keep a distinction. As we know, as a matter of practical halacha, this is what brings us to the practice of placemats, you know, of having a distinction that's made on a table. If people are eating fleishiks and milchiks, this is what keeps the... there's also a... didn't have a chance to tell them. We have a special cover today to be able to hear for a few minutes from the Shkiach of Yitzchak. We're just finishing up. We're talking about the prohibition of having meat and milk on the table together, that there is also this exclusion if the people are not friendly, or if one is an Akum, that also would mitigate the prohibition, as the post can point out. Okay, so we'll stop here with that. It's a great cover to be able to hear a few words.